Well, we welcome everyone to our discussion of Parshat Naso, the Birkat Kohanim. We want to understand why it is the Birkat Kohanim, the priestly blessings, why we don't do them every day. We do mention them. We ask God to bless us with those blessings, but we don't actually have the actual Birkat Kohanim with the Kohanim lifting their hands to us only on Yom Tov. What is the nature of it, and what is the nature of our blessing in general? Even let's say in Israel, where they bless each other every day, is that the original mitzvah of Birchat Kohanim as envisioned in the Beit HaMikdash? Is that some continuation of something they used to do in Beit HaMikdash? Or is it just something we, just a prayer, no different than, the Shema or the Amidah? It's just an sort of outside the temple kind of a prayer. So let's take a look. I'm going to share my screen with you and we'll see what the sources have to say. So we begin at the beginning with the discussion of the original source of the Birkat Kohanim. So you might ask yourself, Birkat Kohanim, if the Kohanim are supposed to give a blessing to people, so why don't they just walk around and put their hands on people and give them blessings? Why do we insist on only on Shabbos and Yontif outside of Israel, or even in Israel, only during the Amidah, during a particular prayer? So this comes from Vayikra, not from this week's Parsha, which mentions the priestly blessings, but in Vayikra, with Parshat Shemini, where they're talking about the ceremony of dedication. So Vayisa Aaron et yadav v'lam v'yivarchin. Aaron lifted up his hand and he gave him a blessing. Vayered masorah chatar v'olav ashlayim. And the way the rabbis read it, as he came down from finishing all the different offerings that he brought, sin offering, the burnt offering, and the shared offering, peace offering, as he came down from that, he blessed the people. So the Gemara in Sota says, "I'm Rabbi Shub and Levi called Kohen Shein Ola Bavoda in Ola." If a Kohen can't get up to the bima, to the place where he stands, the Duchan, to the place where he stands up, usually in a little elevated platform to give the blessing, if he can't get there by the time the Chazan is saying that God should accept our prayers and our service and our worship and our offerings, then that's it. He's too late. He shouldn't do it. Where did he get that idea from? This pasuk, that Aaron only blessed the people in the context of the service, the way the rabbis understand it. First the service, and then when you're finished with the service, the last thing is the Birkat Kohanim. Just as Aaron did so during the avodah, during the service, so too we have to do it during the service. And a little pun here: when the blessing is made that God should accept our avodah, our service, it's during that blessing that he must be there. You have to say that blessing. So what does that mean? Why is that blessing important? All right, so the blessing mentions the avodah, but why, if he doesn't stand there for that blessing, if he's not up there, then it's too late. What does that mean? Well, let's try to proceed a little further, try to understand better. Now, you could say, well, in those days they had the service in the Beit HaMikdash. At the end of the service, they had Birkat Kohanim. So today, we don't have a service in the Beit HaMikdash. We have a service in the shul. Service, well, when there's no COVID. And we have a service, we have a minyan, hopefully eventually. And when you have a minyan, it's some sort of avodah. It's a worship, avodah shebalev. The Rambam says that it's a mitzvah to worship God. So it's a type of worship. So therefore, within the context of our worship that we do today, we can have Birkat Kohanim. Outside the context of the worship, you can't have it, because Aaron did the priestly blessings in the context of the worship. That's why a Kohen can't walk over to you and give you a blessing. It doesn't work. It's not the way it was envisioned. But according to the Ramban, that there's no daily mitzvah to sit to daven. It's only rabbinic mitzvah. So then it's not a Torah worship. So then how could the priestly blessings function outside of any service, any avodah, any official type of worship? So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, don't worry. Even according to Ramban, there's no daily mitzvah to worship God, except unless there's a crisis, like maybe the COVID crisis, and maybe the riots that are going on right now, protests. But once you daven, there is a fulfillment of worshiping God. And therefore, even according to Ramban, if you say the priestly blessings in the context of worshiping God, namely what we call the Amidah, the Avodah, then it counts. Now, then we want to know, well, it counts, but is it really the real Makoy? Well, the real Birchat Kohanim, please stand up. What's the real the Birchat Kohanim? Is it the one we do in Shul? Or no, only the one they did in the Beit HaMikdash, like Aaron. It's part of the official service of a Karbano sacrifices. That's Birchat Kohanim. And ours is just a phony kind of a rerun, kind of a imitation, knockoff type of thing. So the Gemara in Sota says that there's a difference between the two Birchat Kohanim. Birchat Kohanim Ketzad, but Medina, if you're outside of Israel, the Beit HaMikdash or maybe Jerusalem, you say Shalosh Brachos. You say one bracha, Amen. The second one, Amen. Brecha, Yair, and Yisa, each one of the three parts of the blessing, and then everyone answers Amen. But in Mikdash, Bracha Achas. In the base of Mikdash, it was all one blessing. One blessing, and they would say Amen, or whatever they said at the end of the entire three verses, three phrases. So there are differences. And also, in the Beis HaMikdash, they said it as it's written. They said God's name in the original beautiful way. What's that? You know, the Tetragrammaton. But outside of Israel, outside the Beis HaMikdash, or in Jerusalem, we just say Hashem, you know, Ado Shem, the way we pronounce God's name, but not the way it's officially pronounced, the Tetragrammaton. But Medina, the Kohen, Nilsim's Kneifeim, where we live, the Kohanim lift their hands around the shoulders, but in the Beis HaMikdash, on top of their head, except for the high priest who had a special thing that said God's name on it, you know what? So he put his hands lower, but they lift a little higher in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says you can bring it even higher, but we see that there are differences between these two, and the question is how fundamental are these differences? Now, the Gemara in Sota deals with a lot with Birchat Kohanim. There's a whole chapter there that deals a lot with Birchat Kohanim. It talks about which prayers can be done in Hebrew, and in that context, there's a lot of discussion. So it says as follows: Tanidah, Kotevar Hu Ba'amida. You have to say Birchat Kohanim when you're standing. It's a big problem if a Kohen is very old. It's a problem how he can do it. But he says maybe you could sit too. He says no. It says Ko Tavarchu, and it says Ele Ya'amdu L'varech, that there's a blessing on Mount Gerizim that's given, and they stood Ya'amdu L'varech. So it has to be done standing. Or another interpretation of Rabbi Natan, he says, no, Inotzarch, that's not the drasha. L'sharto V'arech Bishmo, you do service of God, and you bless His name. These two interpretations seem to be split over this question. The first opinion says, you want to know how to do Birchat Kohanim? Let's see how they gave the blessing on Mount Gerizim. You know, Mount Gerizim or Mount Eval, the two mountains in the end of Deuteronomy, the end of Devarim, Parsha Kitavo. So it's a blessing. The blessing, not any blessing. It was a blessing given by the tribes. So blessings are done standing, so you should do it standing. However, Rabbi Natan says, that's not a good source. We're not just talking about any old blessing. We're talking about the Birchat Kohanim over here. And the Birchat Kohanim, that's a shirut, is a service of God. It's one of the services of the worship of God in the temple. And that's Ul Shartol Varech Bishmo. And we know that the service in the Beit HaMikdash is done standing. That's another thing. La'amod l'sharet. It says elsewhere in Deuteronomy that you stand up to serve. Stand up to serve God. So, according to Rabbi Natan, the Birchat Kohanim is some kind of actual service. And the one we do, it's just a blessing. It's very nice, but it's a different type of thing. It's like a blessing that a Jew gives to another Jew. It's completely a different kind of a thing. Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor says that the bracha is like an avodah. Since it says in Deuteronomy that we stand up in God and we service Him and we bless His name. One of the things that the Kohen does is to bless in God's name. And it said Aaron blessed God's name. And it's a positive mitzvah to do this service. So it's a real service. Does that apply outside the Beit HaMikdash or not? That's not so clear from the Bechor Shor, unless he means V'lorech Bishmo, to bless in God's name. That's only done in the Beit HaMikdash. Is that an essential component? The Ramban says that actually the bracha that the Aaron gave at that time actually was a different blessing. It wasn't the Birchat Kohanim, but that's a different matter. So apparently there are other brachos that could be given in the Beit HaMikdash. Now the Mishnah in Tamid also seems to indicate two types of blessings. It says, let's make it a little bigger. It says there in Tamid, chapter 5, Mishnah 1, says as follows. Just make it a little bigger. And here we go. So it says, the Mamuna, the official gabbai, the guy in charge of the Beit HaMikdash, said, do one bracha. That was the Avarabba, the blood, love of God that we talk about every day before the Shema. They did it. And then they said the Ten Commandments. We don't do that anymore because we don't want to overemphasize the Ten Commandments, but they used to read the Ten Commandments every day. The Shema, Bayam Shema, Bayomer, the three paragraphs of Shema, just like we do today. It's done all the way back in the Beit HaMikdash. Baruch Adam, Shalosh Brachos. And then they gave three blessings. What were the three blessings? Emes V'yatzi, the bracha after the Shema that we say in the morning. Avoda, the Ritzei bracha, that God should accept our sacrifices. U'brichas Kohanim. And also, the Birchas Kohanim. With Shabbos, Mosifim bracha achas mishrayot. And Shabbos, they would give a bracha to the Kohanim. And then they would see who else wants to go up. So there are some who suggest that this is not the real Birchas Kohanim. Let's take a look at the Bar Tanur. He says, Birchas Kohanim, they would just read the verses. It was not the real Nesias Kohanim. You see, this is the first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning, they say, okay, let's say the blessings. They say the Shema, and then they bring the Tamid. And as we said, the Birchas Kohanim is done after the Avodah, after the service, after the Tamid. So why does it say they'd be the Birchas Kohanim before, when they first woke up in the morning? So the Bar Tanur says, you know what? That's Rav Avadya Bar Tanur. He was one of the major commentators on the Mishnah. He says, you know why? Because there were two types of Birchas Kohanim. There's one during Tefillah, and that's what we still do today. And there's another one that was done as part of the Avodah. We don't do that anymore. So maybe there are two totally different type of things. And what we do today is not the real McCoy. It's the real McCoy of Birchas Kohanim qua Tefillah, of prayer, but not Birchas Kohanim qua Avodah, of the worship in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi and Chumash also throws a zinger into our daily Avodah, because he says that when at the end of the Birchas Kohanim, it says, okay, these are the blessings, and you should place my name on the Jewish people, and I will bless them. What does that mean, to place the name on the Jewish people? B'shem HaMeforash, with the explicit name of God. Now, we don't use the explicit name of God, so is it still really the Birchas Kohanim? So it's a very interesting question. Can it still be the true Birchas Kohanim without the real name of God? According to that Rashi, it seems like it's not really. The Rambam in the laws of Tefillah, the Rambam puts the Birchas Kohanim in the laws of Tefillah. So Birchas Kohanim is a prayer, but it's a mitzvah. He lists the different mitzvahs. There are two mitzvahs: the mitzvah to pray, to worship God every day, and to do Birchas Kohanim. So there are two mitzvahs. And he just mentions in passing that in the Beit HaMikdash they also did it. He doesn't put this in the laws of sacrifices. He puts it in the laws of prayer. But then you have to ask a question. There are six things that prevent you from doing Birchas Kohanim. If you can't speak properly, you don't use the right language, you have a speech impediment. Mumim, somebody has this blatant blemish. He's got two noses, three eyes. He's got something coming out of his head. He has six fingers. So he's going to distract the crowd. So we don't do that. Now, why do we say it's distracting? Why don't we say that, no, if you're a Kohen, you're not kosher for the service if you have a blemish, because we know that Parshat Emor, that a Kohen who has blemishes cannot serve in the holy sanctuary. So it would be a disgrace to God. We love every person, everyone's important, but we want the Beit HaMikdash to exemplify beauty and grandeur. So if the Rambam says that if you're blemished, it doesn't work, is that only because it's a distraction? Or is it because you're doing the real service? This is the real deal? So most commentators seem to speak about it as if it's just distracting. So it's not really a problem of being a Kohen and serving as a Baal Mum with a impediment. How old you are, being drunk. That's a function of the Beit HaMikdash. You're not allowed to serve when you're drunk. And also you have to clean your hands. So in any event, so we have to think about those things and how they relate to whether this is a real deal or not. Someone at the Gush, Rav Elchanan Zemed, I think it was, pointed out that if you look at the Rambam, the law in the mitzvot, the Sefer HaMitzvot, he kind of organizes the mitzvot in some kind of way. It's kind of interesting how he does it. And when he's talking about all the things, you have to build the Beit HaMikdash, you have to have all the Beit HaMikdash, you have to guard the Beit HaMikdash. You, the Levi, has to work in the Beit HaMikdash, Kohen has to wash his hands, and they have to light the candles, and the Kohenim need to do the brachas. So the Rambam puts it in the laws of the Mikdash. When he's talking about the codification of the laws, he puts it in the laws of prayer. But when he's talking about the different 613 mitzvot, he throws it in with all the things that the Kohenim do in the Beit HaMikdash. And that's a little bit suspicious. But now, for the actual question of nowadays, why don't we say the Birchas Kohanim every day? Now, again, Sephardic Jews, wherever they live, they do say Birchas Kohanim every day. Not every Sephardic group, but many Sephardic groups do. And in Israel, they do it every day, although there's some people in the Galilee who don't do it, they just do it on Shabbos. But why don't we say it every day? If it's a mitzvah, we should do it every day. So let's take a look at this other sheet over here. Give me 1 second. There we go. So the Rambam says it's a mitzvah every day. Mitzvah to one of the 26 mitzvahs to bless every day. Is it a violation if you don't bless every day? Well, if you're in a shul and they say Kohanim, they call the Kohanim and you don't do it, that's a violation. But if you're not there, it's not a violation. Now, the Beit Yosef mentions that he says as follows. If they don't tell him to go up, then you're not in trouble. He said, Rabbeinu Manoach of Provence says that if you don't do the daily blessing of the Kohanim, you fail to have a blessing that day, you're in violation. But most people say that unless you're called up, it's not a problem. So you could say that today no one's in violation. As long as we don't call them up, they're not in violation. The Beis Yosef was a huge collector of all the different opinions from all around the world. And he quotes the Agur, who was the late Ashkenazic Rishonim, the early authorities, who was asked from the Maharil. And he says, why don't we do the Birchas Kohanim every day? After all, it's a mitzvah. And he says that you have to go to the mikvah before you do Birchas Kohanim. So we can't do that. So it's cold. So we don't do it. So that's an interesting answer. The Ramah says that, no, it's because we're not happy enough. Give the Birchas Kohanim. We want to give it out of love. In fact, Rabbi Salvejian explains that the reason we have a bracha before the Birchas Kohanim, where it's not really necessary. I mean, the whole Amida is a beautiful setting for the Birchas Kohanim. We don't need a blessing. We have a blessing because they want to say that they bless God with love. They bless the Jews with love. There's an idea that we turn face to face, the Kohanim face us, and we face the Kohanim, and we want to do it with love. So he says, love, joy. You can't have joy outside of Israel. We're always worried. Even on Shabbos, we're worried that we're missing work and all kinds of problems. So only on Yontif, we can really rejoice and say the Birchas Kohanim in the proper spirit. That's very unusual. I mean, are we going to say that about tefillin? We don't have a joy for tefillin, so we're not going to put... How many mitzvahs are we not going to do because we're in Golov, we're in exile, and we're not so happy? Very strange. He says maybe a single man is also, the Talmud says he in Yevamos that he doesn't have joy, so maybe he shouldn't do the Birchas Kohanim either. But then, all right, what about Shabbat? So they say, well, you know, we're all so busy on Shabbat. You're all so worried. What about when Shabbos and Yom Tov fall together? So when I came to the shul, the Gabbai said to me, Rabbi, I want you to clarify something. When Shabbos and Yom Tov fall together, should we still do Birchas Kohanim? After all, on Shabbos, we don't do Birchas Kohanim. So in fact, it's very interesting that survived all the way till my rabbinate here, because it's actually brought in the Taz as a mistaken kind of thing. He says, some people think that when Yontif falls on Shabbos, you don't do Duchening. It's ridiculous. If on Yontif you do Duchening, then when Shabbos and Yontif come together, it's an even more joyous occasion like we had the other day. So certainly you should do Brichas going. So that's very strange. So the Kolbo lived in Provence, and he says we only do it on Shabbos and Yontif. Maybe it was, you know, too difficult for people, or maybe we didn't want to bother God with it. But in any event, he has a more limited Birkat Koni in Provence, that particular community, sort of somewhere between Ashkenaz and Sephard. He did it just on Shabbos. The Ephraim Zalman Margolios says that there's another excuse for it, because he says that, you know, who are we to do duchening? Duchening has to be done. Duchening, the duchan is a place where you stand. In Yiddish, we call it duchen, to duchen. The birchas kohanim, the priestly blessings, are done by kohanim. But who are we to know whether we're a kohen or not? Today, it's hard to know who's a kohen. People claim that they're kohen, going back hundreds of generations, but, you know, we have papers to prove it? No. So since we can't really prove it, maybe that's the reason. But then why do we do it on Yontif? In any event, that's an interesting view of Ephraim Zalman Margolios. So if we have such a great excuse, what about in Israel? So he says that, he says the only reason we do Brichas Kohanim in general is that we don't want to forget this Brichas Kohanim. It's true, the Kohanim are not real. We don't know if they're really Kohanim, but we don't want to forget the whole thing. So that's why we do it. But in any event, maybe in Israel, they were more familiar with their being Kohanim. They were in the same place the whole time. So the question is, should we change our custom? So the Beis Yosef said, he's so excited in Egypt and Israel, they do Birchas Kohanim. He thinks it's a very good thing. In fact, there is a very early source for this idea of not doing it that often. There's a book called The Distinctions Between the People in the East and the West, Sefer Chilukim ben Bnei Mizrach u'Ma'ariv, and the 22nd distinction. He says that answering Mizrach, the people in Babylonia, they only do the Birchas Kohanim once in a while. But in Eretz Yisrael, they do it only in Yom Kippur. So I don't know exactly how to read that, but in any event, they have some distinction in those days as well. Good. Now the Vilna Gaon, he said that if he could possibly change it, he would like to change it and have people do it all the time. It never quite worked out in Vilna, but when his students came to Israel, they instituted it, and that's why today in Israel it's done with great fanfare. However, there are certain places in northern Israel where they continue to do it only on Shabbos and Yontif. He says it's because the students of the Baal Shem Tov Goat went there and they continued the Chutz Laaretz, the outside of Israel position. Now, the Tzitz Eliezer mentions that it's not so simple to change the custom here in America or outside of Israel because many people tried to change it and terrible things happened. There were fires and different things. It seems to be a sign from God that we don't want to do it. We don't want to change it outside of Israel. So, for some strange reason, we've left the custom as it is. We don't do Brichas Kohanim other than on Yontif. If you ask, you know, what do you get from the Brichas Kohanim? What kind of blessings do you get? So the Vilna Gaon says, we get wealth, length of days. We get knowledge of Torah. So someone asked a question, I think it was maybe right Salvation. He said, why is it that it's very strange that every day we say the Brichas Kohanim, Brichas HaTorah, we say the blessings over the Torah, and then we say Brichas Kohanim. After you bless God over the Torah, so you want to learn some Torah. So out of the whole Torah, we pick the verses from this week's Parsha about the priestly blessing. Why? Why don't we learn something like about the Shabbos or Yontif or about the Tefillin or Davening? Why Birchas Kohanim? So he says that one of the ideas of Birchas Kohanim is that we should get a blessing for Torah, that our Torah should be improved, that we should have more of an enlightenment of the mind. Ah, so already if the priestly blessings help us enlighten our mind, so that's why when we say the Birchas Torah, right away we say the Birchas Kohanim. We bless God for the Torah, and then we learn Torah. What do we learn? We learn about the blessings of the priest, which can help us get a enhancement. Now there is a view of the Kodjik lover. It was a wonderful Rav who lived right before the Holocaust. It was a Rosh Hashiva in the Shiva Schachem in Lublin, and he had a strange idea. He said, no, we do Birchas Kohanim every day. I said, what do you mean? I don't see the Kohen going up there and giving us blessings. So he says, no, we do it. I said, where? Well, the Chazan says, God, may you bless us with the blessings of the priest, right? So the Chazan, he says, is a shaliach, he's a messenger for the Kohen to give the blessings. Very strange view, but nonetheless, said by the Holy Kodjik lover, so I thought I'd mention it as well. So these are some views on the Birchas Kohanim. What's the nature of it? Is it a blessing that is just like the one in the Beis HaMikdash? Does, as our Salvagic says, the fact that we say the Avoda, we say, look, God, accept our service. Does that blessing, when we say, God, accept our service, all of a sudden the service becomes transformed into a sacrificial service? And in the sacrificial service, you can have the official Birchas Kohanim. Or no, it's not the official Birchas Kohanim, because the official Birchas Kohanim has the name of God, the official explicit name of God. This doesn't have the explicit name of God. It's not the real deal. Or there are two types. There's one over here, one over there. Maybe in the Beis HaMikdash itself, they had two types. And one is just a nice blessing, like when your father gives you a blessing. The other one is something different, something more official, the official mitzvah of it. Why don't we do it outside of Israel? Is it because we don't have joy? Is it because we're not sure whether who's a Kohen? Is it something else? But is it somehow, just mystically speaking, just not an appropriate place for such holy types of things? Is it somehow that the avoda, that real service, we can only transform our synagogues into somehow a little bit of a Beis HaMikdash on Yontif, but on a regular Shabbos, we can't do it, can't reach that far. But perhaps in Israel, they have the ability to do that. Or perhaps Israel is simply influenced by the Vilna Gaon, who thought it was the right thing to do, as the Beit Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch and the many Sephardic Jews do the Birchas Kohanim every day. If you're in a community where there's a Sephardic menu, you can sneak into the Sephardic menu, you can listen to the Birchas Kohanim any day, because they say it every single day. But in any event, we hope that God will bless all of us with the Birchas Kohanim, that God will guard us and protect us, and not only bless us, but keep our wealth. We should bless us with wealth, and then we should be able to keep it. We shouldn't lose it with the crash of the market. Everything should stay well. That God should list, he should give us special favor. That God should give us special favor and give us peace, give us something that can hold everything together in these very tumultuous times. We hope that God will bless us in a way that will allow us to live and to prosper. And finally, that we hope that the name of God should continue to rest with us in everything that we do. So that concludes our lecture. And if anybody has any questions, we'll take questions at this time. All right.